إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. This is another lesson by the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jal that we are having, reading from the Book of Knowledge, Kitab al-Ilm, from al-Jami' al-Sahih, al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. And the last lesson that we gave, we read from the chapter, which is not present, or the beginning of the chapter is not present in the English translation, but it is present in the Arabic translation. So Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala begins, and if the brothers who are in the UAE, if they could put that chapter on the whiteboard, let me allow them access. If they could put that on, if they could put that on a writing board for us. So, in the beginning of that chapter, which is the chapter of the statement of the Muhaddith, of the Haddathana, wa Akhbarana, wa Anba'ana, which in the English translation, it basically all means the same. We were informed, or it was mentioned to us, or it was told to us. And in the Dar es Salaam translation of the book, it mentions that that is not something except that it applies to scholars of hadith, and we mentioned in detail about that chapter or the beginning of that chapter last week. And today we will go into the first hadith of that chapter. بإذن الله تعالى قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا كتيبة قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن جعفر عن عبد الله بن دينار عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن من الشجر شجرة لا يسقط ورقها وإنها مثل المسلم فحدثوني ما هي فوقع الناس في شجر البوادي قال عبد الله يعني ابن عمر ووقع في نفسه أنها النخلة فاستحييت ثم قالوا حدثنا ما هي يا رسول الله قال هي النخلة. This hadith, which is beginning by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, حدثنا كتيبة, as we mentioned last week, if like we mentioned last week that if Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala begins the isnad, the first person in isnad is his sheikh, and as we have on the whiteboard in the English, it starts with Ibn Umar. And of course, that's not the Shaykh of Imam Bukhari. You have years between Abdullah bin Umar and Imam al-Bukhari. But if you, in the translation that some of you have in front of you, or at least you should have it in front of you, in book form, in that translation, if it's the Dar es Salaam translation, if you go to the Arabic, you would see that it has the full isnad. But Dar es Salaam only translates the Sahabi and the Hadith. So the individuals that we're mentioning, which is the chain of narration between Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that can be found in the Arabic text and not in the English text. So in this hadith, Imam Bukhari mentions حدثنا قتيبة, and قتيبة bin سعيد bin جميل, he's one of the shuyukh of Imam al-Bukhari. قال حدثنا إسماعيل bin جعفر, meaning Ismail bin Ja'far is the Sheikh of Qutayba. And Abdullah bin Dinar al-Adawi, and he is the freed slave, he's the Mawla of Ibn Umar. He's the freed slave of Ibn Umar. And the hadith is on the authority of Ibn Umar, Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And this hadith, it mentions, and there are several narrations of this hadith, and basically, they were sitting, the companions were sitting with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companions were sitting with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was speaking to them. As it was done, as we mentioned in some of the previous lessons, that it was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to sit with his companions and to teach his companions. And we also mentioned in the hadith, also in Sahih Bukhari, that an individual came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was giving a khutbah. While the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving a khutbah, the individual came and he was asking about his religion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped giving the khutbah, a chair was brought, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the individual his religion. And you also have the companions in Sahih Bukhari and others, that the companions prayed Salatul Isha. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ara'aytukum laylatukum hadihi." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Did you see this night?" And this was after Salat al-Isha. So there was no specific time. There was no set time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit with his companions, but rather it was whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his companions, is that he was teaching them. He was teaching them sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this hadith, likewise, you have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting with the companions. In this hadith, you have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting with his companions. Is the sound there? Right. Now, so Ibn Umar said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, there is a tree from amongst the trees." And excuse me for my translation, because I don't have the English in front of me, so I'm translating it from the text. If there's a slight difference between what you have in front of you, I'm translating it from the book itself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Verily, there is a tree from amongst the trees. Its leaves do not fall. Its leaves do not fall." And this is the example of the Muslim. Inform me, what is it? Inform me, what is this tree? فَوَقَعَ النَّاسُ فِي شَجْرِ الْبَوَادِ. So the people began to speak about the trees of the valleys, the different trees which are present in Medina, the trees of the valleys. Abdullah bin Umar, who is the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was present there, he said, فَوَقَعَ فِي نَفْسِي أَنَّهَا النَّخْلَ. It came in my mind that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was referring to the date palm. The Prophet was referring to the date tree. فاستحييت. Abdullah bin Umar said, but I was very shy. ثم قالوا, the people said, حدثونا ما هي يا رسول الله. The people said, please inform us, what is this tree that you're referring to, O the Messenger of Allah? He said, it is the date palm. It is the tree, the date palm. This hadith, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentions this hadith in the chapter, as we mentioned, in the chapter of the statement of the Muhaddith, حَدَّثَنَا وَأَخْبَرَنَا وَأَنْبَأَنَا. And you find in it that Ibn Umar used the statement, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said. But later on, toward the end, you had the way they said, حَدِّثُونَا, inform us of what is it, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And there's several fawa'id that can be taken from the hadith. And from amongst those fawaid, we understand that Imam al-Bukhari, we have inside Bukhari, that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentions this same hadith also in the chapter of Al-Fahm fil Ilm. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala also mentions this hadith in the chapter pertaining to understanding of knowledge. And the reason why that is, as was mentioned by Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala, is because You have another narration of this hadith where the Prophet, a more complete narration, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was brought a portion of the date tree. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it was brought to him a portion of the date tree. So Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was paying attention. So after that portion of the date tree was brought to him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the people, "Verily there is a tree from amongst the trees," to the end of the hadith. "Verily there is a tree from amongst the trees, its leaves do not fall." So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned this hadith in Al-Fahm fil Ilm, in another chapter, which we're going to read. Understanding of knowledge is because Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma paid attention to the qara'in. He paid attention to the outer affairs, which gave him the clue that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about the date tree. Also, that's a benefit. And along this hadith that we just read, along with the other narration, the fact that something was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the date tree itself, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made that statement, you have the benefit that it is upon a student of knowledge to pay close attention to the scholar when he's teaching. And that's a great benefit and an important reminder for those who are following the durus by way of the internet, because it is witnessed that individuals by way of the internet, although technology is making things easier, and an individual can actually be in America and he can attend a class which is in Saudi Arabia, the durus of Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan can be attended live on the internet. The durus of some of the others of the ulama are also can be attended live on the internet. But at the same time, the focus is not the same. When you're sitting in front of the scholar, and you're looking at his actions, and you're hearing him directly, and you're seeing how he's delivering the knowledge, how he's dispersing the knowledge, it's much different than being on the internet. On the internet, you have a screen in front of you, and you have your children possibly next to you, and you know the husband has his wife, the wife has her husband. Some people, they have their mobile phones. Some people, they have other things in the house that are distracting them. So it's very easily to become distracted. Whereas sitting in front of the scholar, which informs you of the grave difference, the tremendous difference between sitting in front of a scholar and following his lessons by way of the internet. There can be no comparison, even as it relates to the reward. I questioned some of the ulama. I asked some of the ulama pertaining to attending lessons on the internet. Does an individual get the same reward as a person who attends the class, actually attends the class of the malaika and of the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and of the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal? All of those rewards have been mentioned in authentic hadiths. Does the person who attends by way of the internet, do they get the same reward? Ulama say, a person who attends by way of the internet, they get a reward, but that reward cannot be compared to the person that attends face to face in front of the scholar. So it's upon a person to pay very close attention to the lesson and to make sure that there are no distractions, to make sure that there's nothing distracting him. And because of that, you have it mentioned in Tadhkirat al-Sama' wal-Mutakallam, in the book Tadhkirat al-Sama' wal-Mutakallam. We've mentioned in the past by Ibn Jama'a al-Kanani rahimahullahu ta'ala, who was the contemporary of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, meaning he was around at the same time as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, that the ulama mentioned the importance of attending lessons and reviewing knowledge and memorizing, being free from distractions. You don't study and the likes of that when you have too many distractions. You should do so. Is the sound there? Sorry. You should try to do so away from all distractions. Even some of the ulama, they mention in their books pertaining to knowledge that when you sit down to memorize and to study and to review, you should choose the best time, such as Khatib al-Baghdadi Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that a person should memorize before Salat al-Fajr and thereafter Salat al-Fajr. They should memorize and they should review before Salat al-Fajr. Why? Because everyone's asleep. In general, that's the time that the children are asleep, the wife or the husband is asleep, so you have no distractions. And they also mention that you should choose a place in your home or in the masjid that has the less distractions, the least amount of distractions. So that's something extremely important. Because of that, you find the ulama, some of our ulama, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, they place their libraries outside of their homes. They place their libraries outside of their homes. They build a separate room and bathroom for their libraries so that they cannot have distractions. They don't have to hear the children running around and the likes of that. And I know that's extremely difficult for the females because they're mothers. But inshallah, if they make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, and if they organize their time, they can do their studying when the children are asleep or at school and the likes. So that is something important, is that this, the fact that Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he didn't just come up with an answer, but he was focusing on what took place when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked that question to his companions. And because of that, he understood, he had a strong inclination to the fact that it was, in fact, the date poem. Other benefits of the hadith, and you also have, from the benefits of the hadith, is some of the ulama, rahimahumullah ta'ala, mentioned that what is referring when the Prophet, you know, or before we go into that, or here you have one of the ways of teaching. One of the ways of teaching, and that is giving questions to the students. That is giving questions to the students. And that is one of the ways that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach his companions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach his companions by mentioning questions. And Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala and others, they mentioned the importance of doing so. He mentioned the importance of doing so. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in his explanation of Sahih Bukhari, yes, Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah has an explanation of Sahih Bukhari. He says, وَالْمَعْنَى أَنَّهُ يَجُوزُ لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَطْرَحَ الْمَسْأَلَ عَلَى الطَّلَبَ لِيَخْتَبِرَ مَا عِنْدَهُمْ هَلْ فَهِمُوا أَمْ لَا. He said, it's permissible and it's legislated. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that it's permissible and it's legislated for the teacher to mention questions, to pose questions to the students, to test that which they have of knowledge, and to distinguish and to see whether they understand or not, and to see whether they understand or not. ولا شك أن طرح المسألة على الطلبة مما ينبه الأذهان ولا سيما للمحاضرات الطويلة. He said, and there's no doubt that posing questions to the students is that which works their minds. Especially for long lectures. So this is something extremely important. Shaykh Uthaymeen mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, is more kalam, but Shaykh Uthaymeen mentioned that is something extremely important because, and Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he himself used to do so. We, walillahi alhamd, we got the chance to attend several lessons of Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, and that was one of his methodologies of teaching. He would constantly ask the individuals questions. And Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he would ask the individuals questions, and he would make them sit down. And also from the Minhaj of Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala is that he would, if he noticed an individual was sleeping, he would tell the individual to stand up for a portion of time until the sleep has left him. Likewise, Shaykh Mukbil rahimahullah ta'ala used to also ask questions. And you have some ulama, although it's very rare at this day and age that you have ulama, especially from the senior ulama, that ask questions. But there, walillah alham, there still are from amongst the mashayikh that ask questions. So here you have the importance. And actually, in that regard, here you have it being done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, him asking his companions questions. Can anyone mention another example of how it was done by the Prophet, or maybe by an angel? Was there anyone that asked questions? You have that as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking the hadith of Jibreel, Hassan Ibrahim. The hadith, Naam, correct. Abu Abdullah, correct. Amatullah, correct. The hadith of Jibreel asking about Naam Umar Al Faruq, correct. The hadith of Jibreel asking of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the long hadith. Naam. So we have that also being benefited from this hadith. Right. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is striking a parable. There is also Muhammad mentioned the hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal, "Atadri ma haqqullahi 'ala al-ibad wa ma haqqul 'ibadi 'ala Allah," and others, and many other narrations. Now, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also showing us another methodology of teaching, and that is to strike parables. In this hadith, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, there's a tree; its leaves do not drop," and that is similar to the believer. That is similar to the believer. Now, of course, the believer doesn't have leaves and the likes of that, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is striking a parable, and that is also from the methodology of teaching. Allah Azza wa Jal does so in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal does so in the Quran. مثل نوره, the example of his light. كشجرة طيبة. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, Surah Ibrahim, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala mentions the example of Islam. كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء. So you also have in that. And Surah Ibrahim, Allah Ta'ala mentions about our religion is like a shajaratun tayyiba. It's like a good tree. Asluha thabit. Its roots are firm. Wa far'uha fi sama. And its branches are high in the sky. Tu'ti ukulaha kulla haynin bi'idni rabbiha. Wa yadribullahu al-amthala lil-nasi la'allahum yatafakkaroon. Allah Ta'ala says, and Allah Ta'ala mentions examples so that people, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions parables so that people can reflect. So that's something that's done in the Quran, and that was something also done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like we find in this hadith. You also have the ulama mentioning what was meant by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "This is like the believer. This is like the believer." And you have some statements, ijtihadat. You have different ijtihadat, deductions from the scholars. Some are correct and some, there's no doubt, some are batil, as was mentioned by Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala. Not to say that the ulama say that which is batil, but Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned in Fathul Bari that some statements can be understood and some statements are far from the truth because they are lacking, they are lacking something. From amongst those statements, which are the ijtihadat, from amongst some of the ijtihadat of the ulama, is this is the da'wah of the Muslim. That this is the da'wah of the Muslim. Meaning, the believer, the true believer, if he makes an honest call to Allah Azza wa Jal, if he makes an honest, sincere called to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal would not deny his supplication. Allah Azza wa Jal would not deny his supplication. We know from the different books of the ulama pertaining to supplication, either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's something evil and the believer doesn't understand, either it's something evil for the individual and they don't understand, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps it from them, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves it for them in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves it for them in the hereafter, so He gives them that which is better, or Allah gives them that which they want. Or Allah Azza wa Jal gives them that which they want in terms of the supplication of the believer. So the reality of that, is this is one of the ijtihadat of the ulama, and that is the supplication of the believer is not denied. Another thing, the barakat of the believer. The barakat of the believer, the blessings of the believer is like the blessings of the date tree. Many of the ulama mentioned that the date tree, it can be benefited, you can benefit from the different parts of the date tree. You can benefit from the tree itself, you can benefit from the leaves, you can benefit from the dates that come from it. So the date tree has many parts that you can benefit from, and likewise is the way of the believer. The way of the believer, you should be able to benefit from his company, you should be able to benefit from his advice, you should be able to benefit from his enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, you should be able to benefit from his teaching. So they mention, so the way of the believer is that he should always be beneficial. The way of the believer, في جميع أحواله. The way of the believer is that he should always be beneficial. And that is something extremely important. And with that in mind, is there anything that we've memorized? Or at least we should have memorized. Is there anything that we've memorized or that we should have memorized that informs us of, oh Allah, make me beneficial wherever I may be? That question we would direct to certain individuals. We ask, no one answer. We would direct that to certain individuals. From amongst those individuals, Tariq. Tariq, is there anything that we've memorized or that we should have memorized where Allah, where a person supplicates? Tariq is offline. Tarab. Is there anything that we've memorized or we should have memorized where the believer asks Allah to make him blessed? Where the believer asks Allah to make him blessed? Sorry, what about Abu Mu'adh? Abu Mu'adh, is there anything that we should have come across in our readings? There's a dua that a believer asks Allah to make him blessed, or that a scholar makes that dua for a believer. Labas. Maysara. Do you recall anything of the believer supplicating, or a scholar supplicating for a believer to make him blessed wherever he may be? No. Is there anything that you've come across in your readings where a believer, supplicates, or a scholar supplicates for a person that Allah makes them blessed? Now, where is that? Abu Maysara, you mentioned yes. In the three principles. Is it in the three principles or is it in Qawad al-Arba? Naam, Abu Ayyub Hakim also, it's mentioned in Qawad al-Arba. Ahsant. Naam, Maysara, you were close. It's mentioned in Qawad al-Arba. أسأل الله الكريم رب العرش العظيم أن يجعلك مباركا أينما كنت وأن يجعلك ممن إذا أعطي شكر وإذا ابتلي صبر وإذا أذنب استغفر فإن هؤلاء ثلاثة عنوان السعادة. نعم. That was the statement of Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala in the beginning of Qawaid al-Arba, that he makes dua that Allah an yaj'alaka mubarakan ayna ma kunt. I ask Allah to make you blessed wherever you may be. That was the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala in the beginning of Qawaid al-Arba. And actually, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab took that from someone before him. That was actually the statement of Ibn Qayyim. That's actually the statement of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in Al-Wabul al-Sayyib, in his book on supplication. In Wabul al-Sayyib, it was the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Qayyim. And likewise it is in the Quran. It is also the dua of Isa. It is also the dua, statement of Ibrahim, and you also have the statement of Isa. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. The statement of Isa عليه الصلاة والسلام in the Quran and many other places. So the way of the believer, understand something. The way of the believer is that the believer should be blessed wherever he is. He should be blessed in his actions. The actions of the believer should be blessed. When a person is in the company of a believer, they should be reminded of Allah Azza wa Jal. The statement of the believer should be blessed. When you're in the company of a believer, he should encourage you toward the Akhirah. He should remind you to fear Allah. He should remind you to be obedient to Allah. So the statements and the actions of the believer should be blessed. So that's another parable, or that's another way that the believer is like the date tree, is that the believer is blessed, and he should be blessed. He should be blessed just like every part of the date tree is blessed. Naam. And another thing, which we benefited from the hadith is, why was Ibn Umar shy? Because even Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, as we're going to read in this chapter of knowledge, he mentions the same hadith in the chapter of Al-Haya'u fil-Ilm, shyness in knowledge. So we know that because Ibn Umar said fastahyayt. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he felt that it was the date palm, but he was shy to ask. Why? Because in another narration, also in Sahih al-Bukhari, in hadith number 5,444, Ibn Umar mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, رَأَيْتُ أَبَا بَكْرَ وَعُمَرَ لَا يَتَكَلَّمَانِ. And Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said, in another narration of the same hadith, which is also in Sahih al-Bukhari, in hadith number 5,444, Ibn Umar said, I saw Abu Bakr and Umar not saying anything. So the reason why Ibn Umar was shy, because his father was there and Abu Bakr were there. So there were other companions. There were other companions who were there. So Ibn Umar was shy. Now, understand something. Shyness is praiseworthy. Shyness is praiseworthy in Islam. Even so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw an individual from amongst his companions scolding another companion for being shy, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Shyness doesn't come except with good." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Shyness doesn't come except with good." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam likewise said, "Al-haya'u shu'batun min al-iman." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that shyness is a portion of faith. It's a portion of faith. But so here we find Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and in that same narration he said, فَإِذَا أَنَا أَصْغَرُ الْقَوْمِ. Ibn Umar said, I was the youngest of the people. He said, فَإِذَا أَنَا أَصْغَرُ الْقَوْمِ. Ibn Umar said, I was the youngest of the people. Abu Bakr was there, Umar was there. I felt shy to say anything. So shyness is praiseworthy. Shyness is without a doubt praiseworthy, and this also shows us that there should be etiquettes. there should be etiquettes in seeking knowledge. There's etiquettes. Ibn Umar is showing you there's etiquettes in seeking knowledge. There's individuals who are more knowledgeable, and he's not absolutely sure that it's the right answer, so he's going to be shy. I should not speak over those individuals who are more knowledgeable of me, meaning Abu Bakr and Umar and the other companions who were present. But yes, there are etiquettes in seeking knowledge, and an individual has to take his time to learn the etiquettes of knowledge. Let me give you an example. I recall an individual, and walillah alhamd, the individual I mentioned, I'm not going to mention his name, but walillah alhamd, now he's sitting with the scholars. Now he's sitting with the scholars, and he's benefiting. But in the past, a few years ago, I recall this individual visiting in Medina. I recall this individual visiting Sheikh Abdul Razak Al-Abbad. He visited Sheikh Abdul Razak Al-Abbad in Medina. And he asked him a question about something. And then later on, he went to visit Sheikh Abdul Muslim Al-Abbad, the father of Sheikh Abdul Razak. So keep it clear. He visited Sheikh Abdul Razak Al-Abbad. And then later on, and he asked Sheikh Abdul Razak a question. Then later on, he visited Sheikh Abdul Muslim Al-Abbad, and he asked him the same question. And he got a different answer. When he got the different answer from Sheikh Abdul Razak, from Sheikh Abdul Muslim Al-Abbad, what did he do? He said, but earlier today I asked your son the same question and he gave me a different answer. SubhanAllah. That is not from etiquettes of seeking knowledge. And first and foremost, there's no doubt that Sheikh Abdul Muslim Al-Abbad is much stronger in knowledge than his son, Sheikh Abdul Razak. Although Sheikh Abdul Razak is strong, Sheikh Abdul Muslim Al-Abbad is much stronger. But that's not the issue. The issue is to say to Sheikh Abdul Muslim Al-Abbad, I asked your son earlier and he gave me a different answer. To say that is incorrect. What did Sheikh Abdul Muslim Al-Abbad say? Aqta' ibni. He said, my son gave you the wrong answer. He said, my son made a mistake. But the point is that you should have etiquettes in seeking knowledge. Etiquettes of seeking knowledge, this is not opening a book, reading Sahih Bukhari, reading Sahih Muslim, and khalas, you have etiquettes. No. You have to take your time and read books pertaining to seeking knowledge. You have to speak to students that have studied at the foot of the ulama, and let it be known. Individuals who are self-taught, do in general, I'm not saying totally, so khalas, you leave them and the likes of that. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying in general, individuals who are self-taught do not possess the etiquettes of the talib al-ilm and the etiquettes of the ulama. Why? Because they're self-taught. An individual, when he opens up Kitab al-Tawheed, when he opens up Usul al-Salata, when he opens up Qawaid al-Arba, when he opens up Aqidat al-Wasitiyya, when he opens up Sahih al-Bukhari from the beginning and the likes of that, in general, he's not going to get the etiquettes of a student of knowledge. He's not going to obtain the etiquettes of a student of knowledge. And because of that, we had the ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala authoring specific books on the etiquettes of a student. You have Imam al-Ajurri, Akhlaq al-Ulama, Akhlaq Hamalat al-Quran, you have Tadhkirat al-Sami wal-Mutakallim, and many other books. So the reality is that there's an etiquette to seeking knowledge. There's an etiquette for sitting with the scholars. And because of that, you have individuals, they're self-taught and possibly they're beneficial, they're very beneficial, walillah alhamd. But the etiquette of a student of knowledge may not be there, it may be deficient, because they have not sat with the scholars in order to benefit from them, their character. And we've mentioned in the past, many people, thousands of people used to sit with Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala, only a few hundred was for the knowledge and the rest was for his character. The rest was for his character. So here, we have in this hadith that Ibn Umar is mentioning an etiquette of seeking, of being a student. Is that you don't precede those who are, in general, you should not precede those who are older than you, and the likes of that, in answering questions, and the likes. Except if no one, and we're going to read toward the end of the hadith, if no one knows the answer, there's no problem in you raising your hand and giving the answer, you know. Or if the scholar calls on you specifically, but you should not race. If you're sitting in a gathering of more senior students of knowledge and a scholar, and you're a beginner, and the scholar gives a question, in general you should not race to answer. Allow those that in general are more knowledgeable than you to answer. If they don't answer, then you can answer. So Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma is showing us from the etiquettes of seeking knowledge. Also, like we said, benefit from the hadith, it shows you the importance of trying to understand. The importance of taking your time and understanding. Because Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, like we said, he paid attention to what was going on with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he gave the answer. Now, also in the hadith, is that, like we said, you know, the fact that the believer, you know, the fact that the believer should always try to be beneficial. The believer, because we have that in the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, verily, this tree is like the believer. And the ijtihadat of the ulama, all of them are centered around that the believer is beneficial. So the way of the believer, Allah, Allah, it's upon you to, wherever you go, you try to be beneficial to the people. If at your job, you try to be beneficial to the people. In your home, you try to be a benefit to the people. When you're walking the street, you try to be a benefit to the people. You should not be the enemy of Allah in private and the friend of Allah in public. The type of individual, when he's amongst the people, he's kind, he's generous, he's this, that. When he goes home, he's the enemy of Allah Azza wa Jal. You should be, as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when she was asked about his character, she said, "Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an." She said the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the Qur'an. So if you looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you were reminded of Allah. If you heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you were reminded of Allah. So this is the way of the believer. The way of the believer is that they are an individual, is they should be blessed wherever they go. And that should be your intention. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. That should be your intention. You should try to be the individual that you get closest to Allah Azza wa Jal, and that you try to be beneficial amongst, amongst the people. Now, also, from this hadith, it's a great benefit, and that is attending lessons, children attending lessons with their parents. Children, the legitimacy of children attending lessons with their parents. Why? Because Ibn Umar, he's the son of Umar ibn Khattab. And in the narration, as we mentioned in hadith number 5444, he said, "I was the youngest of the people." So this is something extremely important, is that we as parents should bring our children along with us to the lessons. And I don't mean bring them to the lessons and let them sit at the back of the masjid or sit at the back of the lecture hall. No, bring them to the lesson and let them sit next to us. And we should try to encourage them to benefit from the lessons. And we should try our best to encourage our children. And if you look at مثلا, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, first and foremost, you have this hadith, Ibn Umar coming along with Umar. And you had companions, subhanAllah, the companions, they were on a different level. You had Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. Ibn Abbas's father didn't become Muslim until Yawm al-Fath, until the day of the conquering of Mecca. But Ibn Abbas became Muslim. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma became Muslim before that. And he was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was sitting with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was benefiting from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You had many other younger companions. You have Abdullah bin Umar, Abdullah bin Abbas, Mu'adh bin Jabal, Anas bin Malik. Yani, the mother of Anas bin Malik, Um Sulaym came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gave him Anas bin Malik and said, "Ya Rasulullah, he is to serve you." She knows that he's going to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's going to hear from the Prophet. He's going to narrate from the Prophet. He's going to memorize from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was the way of the people of the past. Why can't we tread the same path? Bringing our children to sit in the lessons, making sure they're with us, giving them pen and paper, letting them write notes and the likes. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, it was mentioned by Salih bin Ahmad, the son of Imam Ahmad, that he said, whenever a scholar would come to visit my father, because of course the scholars would visit one another, where the scholars is that they would visit one another. Salih bin Ahmed said, whenever Salih, the son of Imam Ahmed, he said, whenever a scholar would visit my father would call me to look at the scholar. He wanted me to be like the people of knowledge. He wanted me to be like the people of knowledge. And we know the famous story, the story of the daughter of Imam Ahmed, subhanAllah. The daughter of Imam Ahmed, when Imam al-Shafi'i came over to visit Imam Ahmed one day, and the daughter of Imam Ahmed was looking at him, and even so much so she wanted to see at night, what does he do? So she stuck a hole, because you know they had walls of dirt. She stuck a hole in the wall, she wanted to see if he wakes up at night. And Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala did not wake up at night. And Imam Ahmed came and put a bowl of water next to his bed. And in the morning, Imam al-Shafi'i woke up and just went straight to the masjid. And in the morning, the daughter of Imam Ahmed went to her father and said, who is this man? And at night, he's not in Qiyam al-Layl. He didn't even make wudu. And in the morning, he woke up and went straight to the masjid without making wudu. Without making wudu. So Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala, approached Imam al-Shafi'i and questioned him pertaining to that which his daughter said. And he said, the reason why I didn't wake up at night is because I was thinking about the hadith, Ya Umayr, ma fa'ala nughayr. The Prophet ﷺ in the hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ used to talk to the young boy who had a bird, a pet bird. The Prophet ﷺ used to talk to the young boy who had a pet canary. And he said, oh Umayr, what did you do with your bird? The bird had died. What did you do with your bird? Imam al-Shafi'i said, I was thinking about that hadith all night. And there's no doubt that knowledge takes precedence over ibadat. Knowledge takes precedence over salat. And the reason why I woke up in the morning without making wudu is because I was already in wudu all night. I was already in wudu all night. The point is that we should try to encourage our children, subhanAllah, they know the best football players, they know the basketball players, some of them, a'udhu billah, they know the singers, and they know the actors, and they know, this magic Harry Potter and the likes of that, and they don't know many of the Sahaba, nor any of the Tabi'een, nor any of the Salaf, subhanAllah. This is a deficiency on our part. An individual, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep in mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Qu anfusukum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourselves and your family. Save yourselves and the family. And the ulama mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, pertaining to that ayat, they said, your family, and when Allah says, save yourselves and your family, yourselves meaning you and your children. Because your children are from you. Your children are from you. They are from you. And your family, such as your wife, your mother, your uncles and the likes of that. But when Allah says, Qu anfusukum wa ahlikum, the ahl is not your children. Anfusukum is your children. Qu anfusukum, meaning you and your children. Wa ahlikum, and then your family. So the reality is we should be very diligent. We as Muslims, especially those who ascribe to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we should be extremely diligent and bringing our children to the lesson so that they can benefit. And inshallah, after some time, they will be more inclined and more inclined to come to attend the lessons. Na'am. Also in this hadith is the having respect. Also in this hadith is having respect for the elders. Is having respect for the elders. As Ibn Umar, he had respect for Abu Bakr. And he also had respect for, he had respect for his father, which is Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Also, in this hadith, you have the reality is that a person who is more knowledgeable in general may not know an issue. A person who is more knowledgeable in general may not know an issue, where someone who is less knowledgeable does know the issue. Why? Because Abu Bakr and Umar and other companions who were present who are more knowledgeable than Ibn Umar, they did not know the answer. And Ibn Umar knew the answer. And Ibn Umar knew the answer, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. So there's no doubt. Yani, if a person, you know, a person may be a scholar, and they may be a major scholar, a senior scholar, but that does not necessarily mean that they know every single issue. And because of that, now the famous narration that individual came and questioned Imam Malik about several questions. They questioned Imam Malik, and Imam Malik said, I don't know. He only answered two of them. The person said, I came far. And you only answer two. He said, go back and tell the people, Imam Malik said he does not know. Imam Malik said he does not know. And the way of the ulama of the past, rahimahullah ta'ala, and the way of the ulama of the present, if they don't know, they say they don't know. And because of that, some of the ulama said, La a'lam nisf al-ilm. Allahu a'lam nisf al-ilm. I don't know is half of knowledge. Because you don't want to say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which you do not know. So the way we understand, and walillah alhamd, we start with Shaykh Abdul Muslim al-Abbad. Sometimes he said, I don't know. Shaykh Abdullah Gudayr, rahimahullah ta'ala, he, from time to time, if I would ask him a question, he would say, go to Shaykh Saleh al-Fawzan. Shaykh Abdullah Gudayr would say, go to Shaykh Saleh al-Fawzan. He said that to me several times. Go to Shaykh Saleh al-Fawzan. I'm not sure of the answer to that question. So the reality is, yes, you might have an alim who was from the senior scholars, like Abu Bakr, like Umar. Those are from the senior scholars of the companions. But you have Ibn Umar knowing an answer, and they did not know. And that does not remove from the status of the senior scholars. Without a doubt, it doesn't. They are the senior scholars. They have the most knowledge, but that does not mean that a person cannot have knowledge about an affair that they don't have knowledge about. And with that, we still have respect for the scholars, and they get rewarded in it, in their ijtihad. And this is that which we have learned from the scholars, rahimahumullah ta'ala. Na'am. Also, toward the end of this hadith, in a longer narration, it was mentioned that when they walked away, when Abdullah walked away with his father from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah bin Umar said to his father that I knew the answer. And Umar ibn Khattab said, it was greater to me than this and that that you had said the answer. It was greater to me than this and that that you had said the answer. Some of them said, he said, it was greater to me than the dunya. It was greater to me than this dunya that you had said the answer. And there's a great benefit from that. For one, a father is proud of his child having knowledge of the religion. That's the greatest joy that you should have. That's the greatest joy that a father should have, father and mother should have, of their child having knowledge of the religion. And some individuals, subhanAllah, their children, they go off and they enter into mixed universities, and some of them don't even practice. They don't practice, they don't pray, the boys cut their beards, the girls don't wear hijab. And if the mother or the father sits in a gathering, yes, my child is in university, or my child just got a good job, subhanAllah. Your child is not practicing anymore. Your daughter doesn't wear hijab, your son doesn't pray, he doesn't have a beard. But you're happy. SubhanAllah, where's your joy of the religion? My child has memorized the Quran, my child has memorized Kitab al-Tawheed, and the likes of that. But if your child does something in the dunya, and this is something deficient on our part, may Allah assist all of us and help us and rectify us. This is something deficient, a major deficiency on our part. When it comes to the dunya, we have complete joy. When it comes to that which helps them in the dunya and the akhirah, we don't have the same joy. This is without a doubt a deficiency on our part, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct our affairs. Umar said to his son, in one of the narrations, it was better to me than the dunya that you would have said this statement. To show that my son is memorizing, my son is studying, Allah has given my son barakah. And some might say, no, but you should keep it private. What about the statement of Allah? فَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. The blessings of Allah inform the people. So you're not doing it out of pride. You're not doing it out of show off. You're doing it, subhanAllah, to show you the ni'mas of Allah upon my child. And I want the same for your children. So it shows you, that portion of the hadith also shows you that the dunya meant nothing to Umar ibn Khattab. That the dunya meant nothing to Umar ibn Khattab. Why? Because he said, subhanAllah, had you said that, it was better to me than the dunya and that which was in it. It was better to me than the dunya and that which is in it. Naam. So this was that which we had to offer for that particular hadith, and inshallah ta'ala next week we will continue with the next hadith, which is about the chapter of ما جاء في العلم وقول الله تعالى وقول ربي زدني علما. The hadith or the chapter that which has been mentioned about knowledge and the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, O Allah, increase me in knowledge. بإذن الله تعالى, if Allah gives us life and gives us strength and gives us good health, الله knows best. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. And we ask Allah تبارك وتعالى with His names and attributes to make us from amongst those that implement this knowledge, that understand this knowledge. And we ask Allah تبارك وتعالى to show this knowledge in our statements and in our actions and our dealings with one another. Allah knows best. There was a Now, there's a lesson for new Muslims that will be held on Friday, bi'ibn Allah ta'ala. And you can follow, even you can follow the Wiz IQ, and inshallah, we will put that up. It's specifically for some sisters that are in the UAE, some new Muslim females that are in the UAE. But I don't see the problem with others joining. And the book that would be studied is The Pillars of Islam, by Sheikh Muhammad Jamil Azin rahimahullah ta'ala. The statement of Umar's father. The statement of Ibn Umar's father. Had you answered the question, and this is my poor translation, but he said, had you answered the question, yani the question of the Prophet, it would have been better to me than the dunya. It would have been better to me than the dunya had you answered the question. Yani Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wanted his son to answer the question. He wanted his son, he would have preferred for his son to answer the question. Na'am. Is there any other question? Take one or two questions. There was a complaint. May Allah correct my affairs and the affairs of the Muslims. And that complaint was that I speak too fast. And that is a valid complaint. That is a valid complaint. And I apologize. I apologize to the listeners. And wallahi, since I've been giving da'wah and teaching, I try to slow down, but I just can't. I try, and it's from the sunnah. You know, more so than that, it's from the sunnah. You have in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, where she scolded some of the other companions because they used to talk fast. She said, "Verily, the Prophet didn't speak fast like you're speaking fast." So it's from the sunnah to speak slow, and I try, but for some reason, it's very difficult for me. And forgive me, you do have the likes of that from amongst the ulama. Yani Sheikh Saleh Fawzan speaks slow. Sheikh Uthaymeen used to speak slow. Sheikh Ubaydah Jabri speaks slow. But you have the likes of Sheikh Abdul Musan al-Abbar, he speaks very fast. You have the likes of Sheikh Muhammad bin Adam in Ethiopia and Mecca, he speaks very fast. If you go onto the internet, looks for his lecture, Sheikh Muhammad bin Adam al-Ethiopi, he speaks very fast. And he teaches Sahih Bukhari. It was known from the Muhaddithun, those who would speak fast. And I try, but it's very difficult for me to speak slow. But I will continue to try. I will continue to try to speak slow so that individuals can take notes and the likes. The best time to memorize is before Fajr, maybe an hour before Fajr, and after Fajr. Those are the best times to memorize. The ulama mentioned, the best time to memorize is when you wake up, before you start your day, and likewise before you eat. Before you eat, it is also one of the best times to memorize. Before going to sleep, that's the time to read, because you're time to relax and the likes of that. Memorization should be done when you're very aware. Your awareness is strong, you're active. So they say before Salat al-Fajr and after Salat al-Fajr. After Salat al-Fajr for an hour, 2 hours, it's good to. If you're hungry, the ulama mentioned, if you're hungry, maybe a person takes a light snack and then they memorize. They take a light snack and then they memorize or they eat and the likes of that. Eastern Standard Time, the time for the. Okay, in Saudi Arabia, we are 8 hours. In Saudi Arabia, we are 8 hours before America. We are 8 hours before New York City. So if it's 1:45, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. It's 5. If it's 1:45, no, that's 2:45. 2:45, Friday at 2:45 Saudi time. It's 2:45. Around 6:45 in the morning in America. That would be around 6:45 Eastern Standard Time. 6:45 in the morning. Those, what you should memorize if you've been Muslim for a few years but you haven't been very studious, first and foremost, start with the Quran. First and foremost, start with the Quran. Try your best to memorize the Quran. Try to get a Quran teacher. Try to attend some tajweed classes. They have tajweed classes online, or to go to the masjid and attend some tajweed classes, along with Qawaid al-Arba, the four principles by Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. That's very short. After that, you can go to 40 hadiths of Imam al-Nawawi. It's also very short. And you have, walillah alhamd, you have all of those audios present on the internet. So you can take your time. But you should focus on Quran and Arabic and the four principles by Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. Yes, Sharh al-Sunnah will continue. Sharh al-Sunnah will be on Friday. Sharh al-Sunnah, we continue. It's normal time. Sharh al-Sunnah in Riyadh al-Salihin, it's normal time. We will continue from next week, inshallah ta'ala. Ignore, yani taqiyya, if a person tries to memorize and seek knowledge but they get no encouragement from the husband, ignore them. And inshallah, make dua. First and foremost, make dua. Make dua for yourself, make dua for your husband. But after the dua, a person that discourages you and finds fault, ignore them. Meaning, I'm not telling you to abandon your husband and migrate from, no, I'm saying ignore his fault that he's finding and continue studying. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, there was a person that said the same thing to Ibn Abbas. No one's going to use your knowledge. Ibn Abbas continued and he became one of the greatest scholars in Islam. So make dua to Allah. First and foremost, make dua that Allah opens up his heart, that Allah opens up his mind, that Allah opens up his chest. And then if he finds fault, just ignore him. Ignore him and inshallah he will see the benefit. You might also send him beneficial articles. You might also want to get brothers that are studying. Brothers that are studying, you might want to get brothers to speak to him, get him to hang out with other brothers that are interested in knowledge. Maybe he, you know, starts to accompany brothers that are interested in knowledge. You know, you call up a sister and says to the sister, please tell your husband to call my husband, and you know, they go to the masjid together or they attend some class together. Maybe from a husband it's difficult to take advice from his wife, but maybe from other men. So if you contact one of your female friends whose husband is interested in knowledge, and she tells her husband, listen, call up the brother and take him to the masjid with you, take him to the lesson with you, maybe your husband will start to come, you know, realize the importance of knowledge. That's one of the things we can advise. We're going to stop now, and inshallah we will continue next week. Allah knows best. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala Nabi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasleem kathira.